The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday in the Israel Update with Anthony Reich, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Booker Tor, feeling good. Thank you, Howard. I hope you guys are the same.
Absolutely fine. Now, strangely enough, yesterday when we were chatting about this money from Qatar being stopped, being transferred to Gaza, you said we're going to wake up one morning and it's basically going to have been approved or done. Well, I don't think you realized how quickly that was going to happen. The very next morning, Israel Security Cabinet decided to release the Qatari funds to Gaza.
Well, this, it probably doesn't come as a huge surprise to, you know, many people who follow the situation. Cause as I said yesterday, I didn't expect this was going to be held up, very long. Obviously, I didn't quite expect that we were going to be talking about it again today. But it's no real surprise that the Security Cabinet has decided that, the money should in fact be paid over to Gaza, to Hamas in Gaza. And, it goes further than that. I think that the Security Cabinet has taken this decision on the very strong recommendation of the Israeli security forces in general. The security services feel that the money going to Hamas is a very important step in terms of securing Israel's general safety along the borders, because by releasing this money to Hamas, to the authorities. I mean, Hamas effectively will use at least some of it to pay people and to kind of relieve some of the economic stress that people are experiencing in Gaza. And I think that the Israeli security services regard that as bringing a little bit of further safety to Israel's borders, because it means that people will get on with dealing with their business economic issues rather than find the need to stand and protest along the border as they have been doing for many, many months now. So I think that this is an attempt somehow to try to alleviate, to try to reduce the stress that has been felt along the borders, in the hope that people will get along with being busy with other things, rather than being busy with protesting against Israel. And in fact, the Hamas-controlled Ministry of Finance said that employees will receive apparently 40% of their September 2018 salaries, a minimum of 1,200 shekels for each person. 1,200 shekels is less than 5,000 rand. So that's what people are kind of waiting for at the moment in Gaza, which is quite astonishing. There's been a whole increase in economic activity in Gaza as a result of this. The banks have suddenly become busy and people were running around. You know, there are pictures of people queuing up the banks to pick up their money and things like that. So it's definitely a big moment in Gaza. Not that Israel will necessarily get any credit for allowing this all to happen. And by the way, it's very fascinating for me that the money was actually physically brought here by a Qatari diplomat who landed in Israel with suitcases of money, literally like that. And of course, all with the cooperation of the Israeli government. So this diplomat, who comes from a country that Israel has no diplomatic relations with whatsoever, is allowed to land in Israel with suitcases of money, which are going to then be given over to Hamas in Gaza. It's a very kind of fascinating a process when we live in this technology age where, Israel has recently enacted laws that cash transactions beyond a certain amount are actually illegal now. So on the one hand, we've got these new laws that came into existence on the 1st of January, which says that I think anything beyond a few thousand shekels can't be transacted in cash. It has to be done via bank transfer or credit card or something like that, so that there's a trace of the transaction. And then on the other hand, we've got $15 million arriving in suitcases from Qatar via this Qatari diplomat. So, you know, a fascinating kind of situation. But I guess that's what needs to be done in order to keep things slightly quieter along the Gaza border. Let's hope that it'll help a little, and that tomorrow, which is the usual day for the protests along the border, that things will be a little quieter as a result of that.
Very, very interesting, and please God it will be. President Reuven Rivlin is on an official visit to France at the moment. What's he doing there?
Well, it seems as if though he's really focusing on political issues rather than economic issues. And generally speaking, you know, when the president travels, he usually does travel with a delegation of businessmen and other people who are doing other business in the country that he's visiting. And this would be no exception at all. But certainly in the words that have been mentioned by President Rivlin during his visit to France, he's concentrating mostly on Iran, he's concentrating on the Palestinian issue, and as would be appropriate in a country like France, he's concentrating a lot on anti-Semitism. And in fact, it was French President Emmanuel Macron who pledged to President Rivlin to continue and strengthen the fight against anti-Semitism. And interestingly, this came against the background of an attack that took place along the Champs-Élysées on Saturday evening when representatives of the Jewish Agency, who I understand included Jewish Agency Chairman Isaac Herzog, Buzi Herzog, former head of the Israeli Labor Party and former Haver Knesset, who's now head of the Jewish Agency, I understand that he might also have been involved. He is at the moment actually in Brussels, where he made a speech yesterday to the European Parliament. But there was an incident on Saturday evening when individuals representing the Jewish Agency were walking along the Champs-Élysées, apparently wearing a kippah, and apparently they noticed somebody coming from behind who was going to attack them. And just as well that these representatives had a security guard with them who managed to wrestle the guy briefly, and then the guy fled the attacker. But clearly the fact that these individuals, at least some of them were wearing a kippah and they were talking Hebrew amongst themselves, had attracted attention. Mm. And so what we're seeing in France is an unbelievable wave of anti-Semitic sentiment that's really presenting itself in the most unfortunate ways. And of course, French President Macron recognizes this and he's pledged to continue to fight this. Of course, we will be marking International Holocaust Remembrance Day in a few days' time. And of course, it is a moment for, in particular in Europe, for countries to stop for a moment and to consider what exactly is happening in terms of anti-Semitism. Mm, and I think that President Rivlin really was focusing a lot on this aspect of things that are happening in France, where, you know, despite the fact that it's Jewish rather than Israeli, but the official representative of the State of Israel will clearly be taking a very specific interest in protecting the rights of Jews in any country that they go to, whether they be Jews who are Israelis or linked to Israel or not. I mean, Jews in general are, of course, Israel's concern. President Rivlin's wife, Nechama, has been doing other things. She's been involved with some artists in Paris. She's been doing a tour of viewing some art galleries. She apparently was meeting with Israeli artists who live and work in Paris these days. And so just trying to vary the activities that the presidential couple are up to. Amazing. During their official visit to France. And of course, you know, we can't ignore the fact that France is one of the largest populations of Jews in the world outside of Israel, and beyond the United States, France is one next on the list. And so, you know, this is a very significant issue and one that Israel takes a lot of interest in.
Absolutely fascinating and quite concerning, obviously, on many, many levels. Before we go on to our next story, I just wanted to go back. Unsigned says, good morning. Is the Gaza economy all in US dollars? I hadn't actually thought about that. What is, how does it function?
As far as I am aware, the official currency in Gaza is actually the dinar. I can't tell you 100% for sure exactly how the economy functions. I would imagine that the US dollar is effectively the currency in which upon which things are based because of inflationary issues and because Gaza, for all intents and purposes, really doesn't have much of an economy. It doesn't have exports. It doesn't have any imports to speak of, or official imports at any rate. It doesn't have an official economy. Most of Gaza's economy is really an underground economy. And so I would imagine that the US dollar is really the currency upon which most of the pricing is based. But it's an interesting question and one that I will certainly look at a little bit more and try and get a little bit more information about in order to come back, because I think it is an interesting point.
The funeral took place yesterday of the Israeli student who was murdered in Australia. What a horrible, horrible story.
Well, this story is, of course, horrible because Aya Ma'asarwe was a student who went on exchange, an exchange program to Melbourne in Australia, from her Arab town in the north of Israel of Baka al-Gharbiya. And I think that, you know, obviously just on a purely independent level, the fact that a young 21-year-old will go out and be murdered on her way back, seemingly by a random attacker. It doesn't seem like there was any link to the fact that she was Israeli or that she was an Arab Israeli, or I don't think any of that really came into the reckoning where this incident was concerned. And the most horrible thing about it was that while she was on her way home from wherever she had been that night and was then apparently attacked and raped and murdered, the attack actually took place while she was on FaceTime with her sister at the same time. So from what we can gather, her sister could actually hear a lot of what was going on in terms of the attack that took place on her,
right,
which is, I think, a most horrendous thing to have happen to the family, obviously having to put up with the murder as it is and to have that, you know, just in the back of their minds. So, you know, for me, it's interesting that there seems to be no emphasis at all, no real publicity about the fact that she was an Israeli or that she was an Arab Israeli, that an Arab Israeli had the opportunity to go on a student exchange program to Melbourne. You know, none of that really seems to come into the reckoning. And maybe that's right. I mean, maybe that's really what we want. But on the other hand, you know, when you have positive aspects of things happening, unfortunately, which ended in tragedy. But the fact that, you know, I feel a sense of pride that, you know, our Jewish country has Arab Israelis going on student exchange programs to Australia and to other places. And it's not publicized. And, you know, maybe that's okay that it's not publicized. But when the negative stories come down and people talk about how Arabs in Israel are being discriminated against and how you know, there is a behavior which is, you know, unbefitting of people in Israel that's being directed towards the Arabs, then, you know, these kind of stories are the ones that I really want to draw from. And so while we feel very, very sad at the murder, the unnecessary and insane murder that took place in Australia, we feel some level of pride that she did go out and represent Israel quite happily in a foreign country. And apparently in her hometown of Baka al-Gharbiya yesterday, there were thousands of people who turned up for the funeral. Obviously, it was a very, very moving scene as the family had to bury a very young person. We really sympathize with that family. And we feel a sense of pride that, you know, she was a representative in Australia of Israel. And you know, we hope that situations like this won't turn out in the negative way with the tragedy that this one turned out with. You know, that's unfortunately the world that we live in today.
Absolutely. Quite horrific. And,
So that was really the only point that I wanted to make on that story.
Right.
But there was just one other question that I wanted to ask you, Howard, because there was a listener who pointed out that I use the word amazing very frequently, and so I just wondered if you had noticed that and whether you
really
thought that constructive criticism was justified.
Well,
I'm really trying not to use amazing so much.
Anthony, you know what? I've certainly never noticed it myself, and and I'm not one to be particularly sensitive about any of these issues at all. You know what? It's very hard to be in the space if you're actually going to take anybody particularly seriously. Obviously, you do want to hear some constructive advice and some constructive
absolutely.
Criticism, but certainly it's not something that I had noticed. We all use words. Veta Zanati and I have often spoken about that, about these words that we all end up using repeatedly. Zanati, what are some of the ones that I've been accused of using?
I can't remember.
I also can't remember
but
it.
There is one. I know there is one.
But you,
I'm sure you'll remember it when you need
yes.
it, Howard.
Oh, and there,
and
we,
there
have
we
it.
Have it yes.
And there we have it. Yes, David Abramson already in studio. He's pointing it out as a good psychologist mm-hmm. would do, because they train to pick up these phrases and yep. And there we have it.
Well, I welcome people writing in and pointing out words that I use too frequently, and of course words that you use too frequently.
Of course, so I think
it's good for people to make their views felt.
Nothing wrong at all. You know what? It always just makes it interesting. It is 8 o'clock. That was Anthony Reich with your Israel Report. Anthony, thank you so much as always. We will catch up with you on Monday. Have a fantastic weekend.